We'll be in Job chapter 40 this morning. We'll start with verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will not proceed no further. I will proceed no further." Then answered the Lord to Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up your loins now like a man. I will demand of you and declare thou unto me. Will you also disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Have you an arm like God, or canst thou understand the voice, thunder with a voice like him? Deck now yourself with majesty and excellency, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their places. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess to you that thine own right hand can save you. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with you. He eats grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar, and the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass, and his bones are like bars of iron. He is a chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lies under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and the fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinks up a river and hastes not. He trusts that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He takes it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. Had nose there and said the same word twice. Again, we know this is us. Correct? We know God is dealing with Job just like he deals with us individually. And Job has made some pretty self-righteous statements prior to this, that he was righteous and holy and done all the good things. And God is coming to rebuke him. And in our process of walking our life out, we've come to places where we feel like, oh, I've got it made. But all we did was deny the truth of all the dirt that was hidden within us. We just covered it over with religion. And God's saying, that's not good enough. I want to dig into the depths of your heart. I want to take that heart out and give you a brand new heart, the mind of Christ. I want to take that whole thinking process you got and do away with it and give you a whole new one, because the one you have is corrupted. That's why it covers things rather than dealing with them. So moreover, the Lord spoke to Job and said, "Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him?" What do you think that is if God spoke to you and says, "Do you really think you're going to contend with me and instruct me on how to do anything? And I am the one that created you." Do you think there's a little rebuke in that statement? I think he's letting him know where he really belongs, setting him in his place. He that corrects God, let him respond. That's what the language should say. If you correct God, then respond. If you can correct God, respond, he said. Just respond to me. How many of us can do that? Now, don't be talking about religion, because religion can think they can correct God. But anybody with half of a brain that works, or just a little piece of brain that works, knows that God's in control and we're not going to tell God what to do. We are to be made in His image, formed in His image, transformed into His image. But He's not being transformed into our image, no matter what we think. And then Job responded to the Lord, to the Almighty, and says, "Behold, I am vile," or literally despicable. He said, uh-oh, God's revealed something to me. And see, when God comes in our presence and begins to speak to us, He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't beat us down. He doesn't try to belittle us in any way. But just the presence of God in us lets us see with His light, His illumination, how the flesh is vile and despicable. And God didn't tell him he was bad, did he? He just came in His presence and began to speak to him. And he said, "Oh my God, I'm vile and despicable." See the difference between the judgment and the condemnation that the church uses versus God's way of changing us? Just speaking to us and revealing and letting his illumination reveal to us how our flesh is. He's not saying, oh, you're a bad person. I'm going to torment you. I'm going to do all these things to you. He just comes in there and starts to talk to you. Does that sound like the nature of a God that's going to burn somebody in hell? It's the nature of a father who loves his children and wants them corrected to walk properly. Does that make sense? He said, I will put my hand to my mouth. In other words, what's he saying? I'm going to shut up. I realize now I've heard a few words from God, and those few words has opened me up to the fact that I really don't know anything. And that's something God showed me many, many years ago. Every time God would show me something that I hadn't seen, I never said, oh my goodness, look what I've learned. It's like, oh my God, how could I have missed this? You know, I thought I knew something, and it just showed me how little I know every time he reveals something to me. And it just continues on that same way. Anybody that truly hears God and walks with God will never come in pride. When people start walking in arrogance and pride, they're not hearing God. I don't care what the words come out of their mouth, that's not God's nature. God is not arrogant, and God is not prideful. Hear what I'm saying? So, you know, you can say a lot of words. You can teach a parrot to say words. You can say the same words I'm saying today. But would that have any meaning or any force behind it? Not with a parrot. Just like Balaam, God spoke through the dumb ass to Balaam in the Old Testament. The dumb ass didn't know anything he was saying. The person who had ears to hear what the Spirit was saying through that ass was what was important. See, so if I can hear God speaking, that's the only thing that's important. And that'll do the changing to me. It's not up to me. It's not anything to brag about. It's what God has given me. He said once in verse 5, he says, once have I spoken, but I will not respond twice. I will add no more. He said, bang, I'm done. I'm not saying anything more. Because he was revealed to him, you don't know what you think you know. Have you ever been in that position that you thought you understood something, and all of a sudden God revealed something to you, and you say, ooh, boy, I blew that one. I have, multiple times. I had God ask me a question one time when I was driving down AA Highway toward Vanceburg. And God asked me a question. And he said, greater works than these shall you do. And I'm thinking, well, I thought I understood that. But obviously, if God asked me the question, what did I mean? He wasn't asking to get an answer from me. He was asking me to show me I didn't understand what he said. So guess what? I just shut my mouth and listened the rest of the trip. And it was a lot better trip then. Then responded the Lord to Job out of the whirlwind or the hurricane. See what God uses as an analogy to our lives? A hurricane. A force beyond human control. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a force beyond human control, and we think we can control our lives. This was not started by us, and it will not be finished by us. God started this hurricane. I know where you're going. I know why you're laughing. I know why you're laughing. I know somebody said they could pray and change the hurricane. See, the hurricane didn't hit where it was supposed to. Well, why didn't you just stop the stupid thing if you got all the power? You know? I mean, that's... can't help laughing about that one. But our life is like a hurricane. That's why God's using it as an analogy here. He said, gird up your loins now like a man. He's saying, act like a man. You say you're grown up, you say you're a mature person, then let's act like it. Would that be too much to request of somebody? If you act like a man, grow up, you're going to actually see what you really are. He said, I will inquire of your knowledge. He said, I'm going to inquire of your knowledge. I'm going to tell you what, if God comes to you and said, I'm going to acquire your knowledge, I'm going to say, you don't want much. You don't want much out of me. Because I don't have, my knowledge is worthless anyway. The only thing I have that's any good is his knowledge. That's the thing that's valuable. And God's putting his rebuke on him very well. He said, will you also violate or frustrate my judgment? So you're going to stop my judgments? Will you declare me wrong that you may be righteous? I've heard some of the dumbest statements come out of people's mouths. I wouldn't believe a human being could make such stupid statements. Had a woman one time say this to me. I'd preach something and she said, I don't believe what you said, preacher. I said, well, there's a lot of people that's in that boat, you know. And she said, look, my church don't teach it that way, and I don't care if Jesus himself said it, I wouldn't believe it. My church don't say it that way. See, she was in love with her church, not in love with God. And that's where people get caught up in those things about the church organizations. I was never meant to be in an organization. I'm part of a body. You know, I'm not part of a church group. Have you an arm? Here again, God's speaking in symbolism. What's an arm represent?
Strength.
Do you have strength like God? Are you as strong as God? If your answer is yes, then I'm talking to the wrong people. Okay? But since we know that no one has the strength of God, we're talking to the right people. Or can you thunder with a voice like him? Now, you know, in the Bible, every time that God spoke, there was two things heard. Do you know what they are? Some people heard God speak. That was the ones God had created an ear in to hear. Everyone else heard thunder. So he has a voice that's so awesome that people can't understand it because they don't have ears to hear. The natural ear cannot hear God. See, when I hear God speak, I don't hear him with my ears. I hear him inside of me speaking. Because God dwells inside of us. He dwells inside of you and me the same way. And if you're going to hear God speak, it's not going to be an audible voice. It's going to be coming from inside of you, in your understanding. He said, adorn yourself now with majesty and excellency, and clothe yourself with grandeur and magnificence. Can we do that? Can we really do that? It's his righteousness we put on. He said, King James in verse 11 says, cast abroad. Literally it says, dash to pieces your rage, the rage of your anger. He said, dash to pieces. Why would God want you to cast it abroad, like sowing seed somewhere? I don't think that's what he means. King James language misses it here. It says, dash to pieces the anger of your wrath. Okay? So he's wanting you to destroy it, right? You dash it in pieces, you destroyed it. And behold or see everyone that is proud. So he's saying, if you can dash to pieces all the anger that's within you, all the wrath that's in your very being, and I'm talking about things so deep that we don't know it's there until someone comes along and kicks us in the shins or stomps on our toe and makes it come out. Every piece of it has to come out of you to where when someone does something to you, you do not respond out of anger and retaliation, but you respond out of love and understanding. That's what God is looking to find in us. Everything on out of us except him. And when we do, we'll be in really good shape. Now, as soon as you get to that place, look what you can do. You can see everyone that is proud. You think it's hard to see people walking in pride? If your eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God and all that retaliation and anger and wrath and all that violence and stuff, to get even stuff with everybody, if that's all gone, you can see the pride so clearly. You can just see it everywhere. Everywhere it resides, you can see it. And then he says, when you see it, do what? Abase him or humble him. If you can see all the pride, what should you do? Now, let me ask you a question. Where should this start? It's in yourself. See, we're not to judge somebody else. I'm only to judge myself. I don't judge anybody. What anybody does, that's between you and God. See, I'm not your God, I'm your brother. And I'm here to help you understand so you can get your life in order, so you can have the same relationship with God that I have. I don't want to keep him all to myself because I know he's big enough to share. Way bigger than what we can imagine. Look on everyone that is proud. And who is that everyone? It's all of humanity, but yes, it's me first. And until I'm straightened up, I have no right to look at anybody else. See, because when I point a finger at somebody else, what I'm trying to do is to get you to quit looking at me. See, if I can get your attention pointing to somebody else, then you ain't seeing what's going on in my life. And see, I don't want to be that way. I want you to see my life and see it as an example of walking the way you should walk, and we are to be an example. We're to be the lights of the world, right? Well, if I'm a light of the world, then why am I trying to get somebody not to look at me? I want them to see the Christ in me. I don't want them to see me, but the Christ in me. It says, look on everyone that is proud and humble him and cast down the wicked to the bottom. Okay, not into their play, in their places, but to the bottom is what it says. Cast them down to the bottom. So that means they're down at the bottom rung of the ladder. they haven't ascended very high, have they, if they're on the bottom. That ain't talking about hell either. I get that, make it real clear. Anybody hears this tape? I know the ones sitting there listening to me know better than that, but ones hear this tape, this is not talking about hell. Cast them down to the lowest realm. The lowest realm is nothing more than the earth realm, okay? It's just dust. It's the earth realm. So if I'm proud, it's saying I'm really not going to ascend any higher than the earth realm. True? It said, hide them in the dust together. See, right there's your word dust with it. And bind their what? Their identity, their faces is their identity, not in secret, but the Hebrew language literally says, bind their identity together by covering them in dust, or literally clay. Guess what God did? When He created us, He bound us together with humanity by covering our true identity with what? The clay, the dust of the earth. It's something that's already been done. He's asking Job, same thing. He's asking Job here, can you do what I have done? Can you cover humanity with this dust? Can you do that and have life in it? I don't think we know the answer to that one. Then, he said, then, when you do this, then will I confess to you that your own right hand can deliver you. When you can do all these things that I've done, then I'll say, you're my equal. You know what? We're not. We're not His equal. As long as we're in the flesh, we're not. He said, behold now, behemoth. What's behemoth? The hippopotamus. He said, no, I'll show you why it's the hippopotamus. And it comes on out in the language. It really is the hippopotamus. Behold now the hippopotamus which I made with you. He eats grass as an ox. We know the hippopotamus eats grass. They walk around in the water and feed on grass underwater, just like they're walking on the ground. They're so big they can't hardly walk on the ground, but in the water they get around very gracefully, and they can walk around, swim around, and just walk around and graze on the bottom of the rivers just like there's no problem at all. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his power is in what? The navel of his belly, or literally the navel cord or the umbilical cord of his belly. So his power to reproduce is in his belly. Isn't that in all animals on the earth, all humans on the earth? It's in the navel cord. What are they trying to do today with the navel cord? Stem cell research. They know that all the power is in that thing. They found out now what this has said for thousands of years, that there's a power in that navel cord, in that umbilical cord, for those stem cells to do all kinds of miraculous things for the humans. They're just now finding out. God was ahead of them, wasn't He? He was way out. It's amazing. He moves His tail like a cedar. The sinews of His thighs, not stones, thighs, are entwined. His bones are as tubes of brass. His skeletal or structure is like the bars or the forged iron. It's like forged iron. So He's very strong. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made Him can make His sword to approach Him. Surely the mountains bring Him food where all the beasts of the field play. He lies under the lotus trees in the cover of the reeds and in the swamp. It says fins. It should be in the swamp. In the cover of the reeds in the swamp. Okay? Where does the hippopotamus play? In the swamps, in the reeds. Yeah, that's where they stay. Talking about a big beast, isn't he? The shady trees, the shady tree, there again is lotus tree. The lotus trees protect him with their shadow. The willows of the brooks surround him. Behold, he drinks up a river. No, he doesn't. You know what he does? He sees the overflowing river. And it says, and haste not. The word hasten is fears. He sees the overflowing river. If we come to a flooded river, what do? Stop. It's frightening. You see the Ohio River out of its banks up here about 50 or 60 feet higher than it is right now. How frightening is it to look out through it? You know what that hippopotamus sees? Nothing. He just wades in. That's what he's saying here. There's no fear in that big beast. That's where he lives. That's where he was made. See? No problem. He trusts that he can draw up Jordan or death into his mouth. That means he can swallow it up. He's not afraid of that river. Now, he takes it with his eyes. His nose pierces through snares. What he's trying to say here is this. I created this beast that should be afraid of everything, but in its own element, it fears nothing. Do you really think he's talking about the behemoth? He's talking about the pride of man. See, we're out of our element. We're covered up with dust. He told you, he covered our identity with dust. And when he covered our identity, we're no longer in our element. And that's why we have all these emotions of fear and all these phobias we have, because we don't know who we are. But when we realize that God is taking care of us, he's created all things for a purpose. He put us in here to let us learn who we really are. And remember what I said earlier, you can hear things, but hearing them don't mean you know them. When you experience that thing, now you know it. Okay? And that's what God did. He gave us these things. He told us about them, but we hadn't experienced them yet. We're beginning to experience these things. And as we experience them, we realize that we were that beast, out of our element, afraid of nothing. And how many of us, when we're young, feared anything, really? We've done some stupid things because we thought we were in our element. We thought. Didn't make it true, but we still thought that, didn't we? We thought we were there. And when we start to wise up as we get older and find out, my God, that wasn't our element. That's not us. All these things that we've done, that's not us. That's why Paul could cry out in his writings, it's not I that sins, but it's not I that sins, but the sin nature that dwells within me. That's the thing that's bad. It's not me, but it's the sin nature that was within me. And I was looking at the wrong element, just like Paul got to a place where he saw the element and said, whoa, that wasn't me. I am that Christ within there, and that flesh is what sins in me. That flesh thinking, that understanding in my mind that makes me think I'm in my own element, and I'm really not. My element is spirit. Is God our Father? God is what? If God is spirit, guess what we are? We're spirit. And God covered us with his dust covering, the clay, and guess what? He covered our identity. We have to get the dirt off of us to find out who we really are and walk back in our own identity. Do you think when the dust covering is removed from us, do you think we're going to fear the river? Do you think we're going to fear the hot sun? Do you think we're going to worry about food? For anything? Protection? See? When we find out who we really are, that's what this book is all about. It's shown you from the first chapter all the way through how we start and how we think we are something, but it didn't make it the truth. See? The illusion in our mind makes it seem real. God gave us that ability to imagine things. He gave us those cherubim in our minds, those imaginary creatures. And they can do all kinds of things in our mind and make us think things. How do you think people can sit here, and I've seen friends do this, in a hospital room and have illusions and say there's bugs crawling up the wall and there's nothing in the room because I'm looking at the walls when they're talking to me? How do you think their mind did that? The drugs didn't make them do it. Drugs just released their mind to let them cherubim draw them pictures for them. Drugs don't make things in your mind. They just release them. It takes all the, what's the word I'm trying to say? Restraints out of your mind so it can just run wild. That's all it does. When someone gets drunk, what does it do? They're no longer inhibited. Same way with drugs. And when we get caught up in all this stuff, we get caught up in the illusion instead of the reality. And that's all God's trying to show us. Don't worry about the illusion. The reality is underneath there. Get the dirt off of it. You'll find the reality. And then you'll realize who you are. There'll no longer be fear. Because the book says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know, there's not a whole lot of running around with sound minds today, are there? They've got them, they just don't believe it because they're caught up in pride. It's about the pride of that natural beast.